Well, we sure appreciate the Lord this morning and the blood of Jesus. If we didn't have that, we would have nothing. Thank the Lord for this time to be together, and we pray this morning that the Lord would feed our souls and cause us to make heaven our home. I wrote on the board, the great contrast. And we've been studying in Romans some for a few weeks. I want to look at Romans, the sixth chapter, this morning. Been thinking about that some through the week, and feel like the Lord has a few little things for us toward the end of the chapter. There's so many things you could cover, but we just have to cover the little bit we can. In the 20th verse of Romans 6, it says, "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, ye became servants to God, and become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." And we notice two freedoms here this morning. The first one says, in verse 20, ye were free from righteousness. What's that mean? You were free from righteousness. There was a time that we were free from righteousness. You know, I want to think back a little bit and look at some of the contrast of being free from righteousness and free from sin. You look back at the very beginning, Adam and Eve had in the garden, I have to believe, the best any person has ever had. They had in that garden, everything was perfect. There was no thorns there. There was no problems like that. They didn't experience those kind of problems. They had work to do, which is healthy for everyone, but they didn't have the problems that we encounter when we work. Adam and Eve, God had told them very clearly and plainly, don't eat of this tree of good and evil. You can eat of all the rest, but don't eat of that tree. Just, you can have everything in the garden. The whole thing is perfect. I made it for you. I made the whole thing for you. And I made it to be satisfying. Now I'm adding some words. I believe the Lord wanted to say these things and probably did to them. Do you know this morning, because God wanted them to love Him, there can be no love, as we've already had in a previous lesson here. There can be no love unless it's a choice. You can't bind somebody and make them love you. You can't whip somebody into loving you. You cannot force somebody. You cannot even program. God could not even program somebody to love Him. Not really love. He wanted somebody to really choose to love Him, didn't He? And so He put that tree right in the center of the garden. Now, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so, I don't know how often they went by that tree, but I imagine they went by it a lot of times. And they had to choose over and over again not to stop and eat of that tree. That's all God asked them not to do. Just don't eat of the tree. You know, you can have all these good things. Just don't do what I told you exactly not to do. But you know, one day, while they were walking along, and I doubt it was the first time either, but Satan met Eve there, and started reasoning with her. You know, we know the story, don't we? You've read it, haven't you? We've all heard it maybe hundreds of times. And you know, Eve began to be in this conversation with her enemy, and he convinced her that it won't be. He said, you know, you're not going to surely die. Eve, that's not going to happen to you. It's not going to happen. And so Eve decided to give it a try. And do you know that She was free to do that. She was free to make that choice and do exactly what God said not to do, because He gave her that choice. He wanted her to love Him on her own. Without a choice, that's not possible. And so Eve decided, I'm going to eat of the tree. And she did. And, you know, her eyes were opened. And I want us to think for a minute what it must have been like, because I don't really know exactly what this temptation was. I don't know exactly how it all played out. But I know that her eyes were enlightened. I know that she was probably delighted. I think she when she saw that the fruit was good to eat, and it was something that really, really delighted her, she decided to take part of that. And, you know, and it was desired to make one wise. I want to ask you, have you ever wondered about things that you've been forbidden to get into? What's that like? I'm sure Satan has brought it along to you. And I want to tell you something. God gives us a choice too. But Eve decided to make that choice. And then it was so delicious. She said, here, take of this, Adam. This is good. And my eyes are opened. And it tasted good. And it just made me delighted. Do you think she did that? I think that's what happened. And she was delighted, I think. And so Adam took of it, didn't he? And we know the story. And we know that God had told her, in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. Do you know this morning, they lost something that day. And we're still losing today because of it. These bodies are condemned to death because of it. We have sickness and disease and thorns and all kinds of things that we wouldn't have if it hadn't have been for that. But I have to believe that Eve had no idea what she was stepping into. I believe that when she took that and she was so delighted, she forgot that God said, she knew He said that because she told Satan that. But she forgot for a moment. And you know what it cost her? It cost her everything. Her own first son took the life of her next son. And you think about what Cain went through. He was free too. He was free to be free from righteousness, wasn't he? He could choose, and he did. And God told him. You know, He talked to him about what you're doing. Don't do that. Or He told him, you're not doing well to do that, something like that. You know what? Cain was free to be angry, wasn't he? And he was angry. And he was free to hate, and he hated. But and so he was free to kill his brother, and he did. Do you know that what they weren't free from was the consequences? That's what they were not free from. You know, this morning, God still gives people a choice. And there is a great contrast. And I'm not going to just dwell on this part of it all through this message, because there's such a good contrast to it that is so different. You know what a contrast is, right? I know all the older ones do. But a contrast, folks, that white wall is contrasted to this brown stained wood. It's a contrast. It's different. You put one color up against another. It's a contrast. And I want to tell you, the Lord has contrasted for us His ways and Satan's ways, His dividends, His payment, the things that come from that, the things that come on down the line. He's contrasted that with what happens when people take the life of sin. And so if you look on down here, and I'm going to study these, and then maybe we'll read them all in a row before we're done, But the last verse there in 6 says, for the wages of sin is death. You know, the Lord just contrasts it over and over. He calls it wages. He calls it fruit. He calls it the kingdoms. You know, just many ways the king. There's light and darkness. And he brings all these contrasts. And he says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know that the wages of sin is still death? It still brings death. It still brings destruction. What Eve did and what Adam did, they didn't know what God said really was going to happen. So the wages. Now you're going to get wages for this, Eve and Adam. What you're doing, you're going to get wages for this. You live for me, that you're going to have eternal life with me. But the wages of sin, if you take that way, it's death. And I want to look at that a little bit this morning because the contrast is so great. And even in this life, and I want us to think about, do you know that eternal things start now? Do you know that eternal life starts now? It begins with the good things that God begins to give us now. Do you know that when we have faith in the blood of Jesus and we humble our hearts and we let His blood wash away our sins, do you know that eternity in us starts then? You know that? And do you know that when we take the way of Satan and evil, that eternity begins even now? Do you know that it began with Adam and Eve there? I don't know how they landed up with God and all. I don't know about all that. But I want to tell you something. What I see is their life greatly degraded right away. Because God came to visit them about the way they were living. And He came down in the cool of the evening. And what happened? They didn't want to see God. I want to tell you, they didn't want to see God. We don't want to see God either with sin on our hands, do we? Because they didn't slip. They knew exactly what they were doing. That's what I'm talking about this morning. We know when we sin. It's something we do, transgressing against what God has told us. And so this morning, the wages, folks, of sin is death. But listen to this contrast. But the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's take that yoke upon us. Now we have in our own possession, we have the ability to choose the Lord and righteousness, or we have the choice to choose sin. The Lord makes it very, very clear to us. He didn't make this contrast hazy. It's very clear. If we look into it a little bit, it's very clear. And so I just want to encourage us this morning. Folks, listen. God has provided for us an eternity of joy with the Lord. And the good things of God start as soon as we get saved. As soon as His blood washes away our sins. And we don't have anything of ourselves to do that with. We just have to humble ourselves. And He washes the sins away. You know, there was a rich man in the scriptures. I'm not turning to all these. I'm telling you stories we all know. There was a rich man. It says he fared sumptuously every day. He just had all he wanted. You know, there was something wrong with that because he left God out of the picture. There's something wrong, not that he was rich, but that he left God out of the picture. And you know one way we know he left God out of the picture was because there was a poor man at his gate named Lazarus, and the dogs just licked his sores. He didn't have anything. And he just wanted to be fed off the crumbs of this rich man's table. But this rich man didn't have very much mercy, did he? He just wanted something to sustain life. Well, you know, I'm going to read this in Luke 16 and 23 because the contrast is so great. I really feel like Lord, open our eyes to the contrast this morning. That we are never deceived by the enemy. Listen to what it says about this rich man. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And you know what Abraham reminds him of? He said, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. That's a pretty big contrast, isn't it? The poor man was tormented in life. He had some things to deal with. He didn't have enough food. He had sores. He had troubles. He didn't have a place to live. All of those things. And the rich man had everything but God. The poor man didn't have anything but God. That's all he needed. You want to know something? He said, now he is comforted. Lazarus is comforted. Thou art tormented. Folks, there is a contrast in eternity of righteousness and of evil. And it starts here. It must start here. And so we want to persuade men. The wages of sin, the scripture says, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, folks, there's a gift for us. We don't have to have the death. We don't have to have eternal death. We don't have to have darkness in our souls here in this life, do we? We don't have to have that. The Lord wants there to be light and life. And he wants to give us a piece of who he is. And I think the Lord is joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and so many good things that all of us want in our life, don't we? That's what God is, folks. That's what he gives. Sin simply brings darkness. I want to read another place, and we're not going to stay on this forever, but it's an important part. And I don't apologize for the scriptures. Revelation 20 and 14 and 15 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, do you know what that's talking about, don't you? He talks about a fire that never quits. That's what this is. We've got to have it right in our souls. And God came and sent his son that we might have it right in our souls. And we find here, moving up in verse 6 of Revelation 20, he said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. What a contrast. Now we come to this place of the second death that he says this is second death. People are cast into a lake of fire forever and ever. And he said, those that have partook of the first resurrection, that second death has no power over them. What a contrast this morning. If we could only persuade every heart. Folks, listen. God has designed and destined every one of us to be saved and paid the price of his son's blood that we might have it. And all we have to do is take advantage of it. That's all we have to do. But if we choose, and he's given us that choice, if we choose our own way of sin and death and destruction, it lands in this lake of fire. See, it begins today, the darkness, the contrast between light and darkness, righteousness and unrighteousness, all of those, it begins today, begins in our life. But it ends at the judgment. And that's what we don't want to forget. Eternal life, folks, it starts now in our soul. Oh, the Lord wants to give us a piece of eternal life here in our soul today. Right now, He wants to give us a piece of that, a part of that. He wants to have there a resurrection in our soul that we might live with Him eternally. You know, I want to just mention a couple of others. I know the rich man fared sumptuously, but many times and most it don't work quite that way. You remember a man named Noah. Anybody ever heard of Noah? It says, this is Genesis 6 and 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do you know that during Noah's time, we're not the only ones that's seen wickedness on the earth. I think it was more so then than it is now. I believe that. There was only a handful that was saved at that time. I see that. I don't think we're quite where Noah was completely. But God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the heart's thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know that all around Noah was people doing anything their flesh wanted to do. That's what this evil is talking about. It's things that God said don't do and they wanted to do. That's what it is. They wanted to do it. God said don't do it. And their thoughts were only evil all the time. They just were thinking of more things, all the lust of the flesh and taking advantage of another and murdering somebody that they hated and stealing from somebody that they wanted what they had. And all of the things that go with the life of the flesh. And Noah, he was building an ark. He was working hard for probably well over 100 years. He was working. He was doing what God told him to do. Now, God hadn't told us to build a physical ark. But He has told us some things, folks. And we would do well to be found doing exactly what He's told us this morning. You know, there came a day that God said to Noah, get in the ark. And God closed the ark up for him. Did you know that? God sealed it up for him. Now I want to tell you something. The rain started to fall. And you think the contrast was great between Noah living a righteous life and those all around him doing anything they wanted to do. The contrast really got big then. Because there was water over all the earth. And Noah was safe in the ark. That's a contrast, isn't it? Pretty big contrast. Oh, the Lord's given us the same choices, folks. Sodom and Gomorrah. We find Abraham, and God came by and He told Abraham, I'm going to tell my friend what I'm doing down there. He told Abraham, I'm going to go down there. We're going to go down there and destroy these cities. We're going to see, check them out, what they're doing. And oh, Abraham got concerned. Those are my friends. I've got friends down there. Lot lives there. Lord, would you save it for 50 souls? And he just kept going down and down and down. And the Lord just kept working with him. But God couldn't even find, 8 or 10 souls or whatever it was. Just a handful. You know, there was a great contrast between Abraham's life and what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. Because fire fell from heaven and consumed all the plain, that whole area. And we know today, you know where I believe it was? It's in the lowest place of the earth. It's called the Dead Sea. You know that's the lowest place of the earth? They know Sodom and Gomorrah was right along there. I just happen to believe it was right in there. That is a great contrast. But Abraham went on living, and God gave him peace and life and blessing. Now, Abraham didn't have everything he wanted in life. I imagine Abraham would have liked to have had a nice big home, but he lived in a tent all his life. Sometimes God calls for a little more sacrifice than those that enjoy all the lust of the flesh. We all here have homes, don't we? Thank God for it. Let's live in those homes to the glory of God this morning. You know, when the Lord got a hold of Paul, Paul had a life of contrast, didn't he? Paul went around causing trouble for the saints. He went around causing trouble for God's chosen, for those that were saved. He went around throwing them in prison, causing some, I'm sure, to be killed, causing wives to cry bitter, long tears and hurt and all of those things. You know, when Paul got saved and the Lord met him on that road and he began to deal with the Lord saved him, filled him with His Spirit and worked with Paul. You know, he never had to do anything evil like that again. He had a great contrast in his life. He went around preaching good tidings to people the whole rest of his life. He gave it all the way to the end, and then he gave his life up. What a contrast. But you know what the Lord told Paul when he met him there on the road? He told him he was going to send him forth to the Gentiles. And he said, to open their eyes, this is Acts 26 and 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Contrast. Paul, I want you to turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. Paul, I'm just going to take your life now. It's going to be completely upside down, backwards, and you're going to go a whole different direction than you've ever gone before. And this Jesus that you've said is he's not the one. He's not of God. He's an imposter. This Jesus, you're going to go preach about Him for the rest of your days. Wasn't that beautiful this morning? And he went and he told people that were praying to idols and praying, you know, we have on the Mars Hill. And he was talking to those people He saw them and his spirit was stirred in him when he saw them just praying to dead idols. And you know what? He woke them up to something so much better. There's light. Folks, I want to introduce you to this God that you don't know about. I want to tell you about this one that you pray to, the unknown God. And Paul began to tell them something that brought light in their lives. Not all of them believed, but the ones that did were saved. And then he went on to the next place, didn't he? And we find his whole life being like that. You know, in Malachi 2 and 5, we find here the Lord said, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Excuse me. Folks, the great contrast between Paul's old life and his new. Pretty great, wasn't it? You know what he wants to give us? For all of our sins, for all of our unrighteousness, for all of our denying the Lord, and wherever we're at in our life, he wants to trade us life and peace. And he wants to give us something that will bless our lives more than the darkness hurt our lives before. That's what he wants to do. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us all. Folks, listen, God. God wants to make us a trade. The Lord said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And so I want to go back where we started in Romans, the 6th chapter, and read just a little bit more. Verse 17, listen to what these verses say one by one. Paul writes here, and he said, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. That's a blessing, folks. There isn't any greater trade than to trade sin for righteousness. The Lord wants to give that to us. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness. Now, he doesn't say it was taken from you. He said, as you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. You've yielded your members, servants, to sin that leads to more sin. Iniquity unto iniquity. That's how, he said, as you've done that, even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. The Lord just wants to take what he gives us and let it lead even to more and more, doesn't he? For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. That's kind of where we started. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Let's get it settled in our mind. The end of sinful and ungodly living is death. But the end of righteousness, the end of a true life that's not only saved, but goes on to live a life of righteousness in the Lord. I want to tell you something. The end of that is eternal felicity with the Lord. And so he said, for when... Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The end of it for Adam and Eve and Cain and all those people at Noah's time and Sodom and Gomorrah. And the people of today were told the same things the Lord tells us, doesn't he? And Peter tells us, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Knowing these things. Knowing that there's coming a day in the which the Lord's going to come back and all these things are going to be burned up. So what manner of persons ought ye to be? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, this morning, I pray that we would have these things in our hearts and we would choose these things. That's the only way it works. He's not going to bind it on us or anything like that. We're going to have to choose them. The scripture before 17 where we started, I'll read that one and then we'll be done, Lord willing. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You know, the Lord wants us to yield ourselves to be obedient to him. It brings about righteousness. Eternal life starts now. It brings about in our soul those things from Jesus Christ that he wants to give us. It brings about peace and life. It brings about a knowledge of God's ways that are only good. Oh, this morning, let's take God's ways. Let's find them out. Let's search them out. Let's be studious in our lives. We don't want to just take what the preacher says. We want to be studious in our lives because we are going to be the ones to stand before the great judgment seat of God. You all pray for me. I want to make it in. I want to be there one day.